Take your Bibles, turn to Revelation tonight. Well, again, anybody got any questions on Revelation? Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. I got a God that's big enough.
Amen.
I'm glad I got him. Revelation chapter 9. This whole thing, I wanted to read to you, chapter 9, and I'm going to read something, go through a couple of things, and then I'm going to read a paper to you that I've got. I get this paper every month, and the guy's got an insight, which we knew about this, what's happening in the world right now, with the EU and all that stuff. And everything was heading for the one world government, and then Trump got elected, and it kind of messed everything up right now. And when this new prime minister in England, just got elected and breaking from the EU, that's another thing. And I didn't know this. And Jesse said he knew it, but I didn't know Vladimir Putin went over to Israel and went to the Western Wall. I didn't know that. And a Russian, and went there, and because he's interested in seeing that temple built. I didn't know that. And this guy is saying that it's possibly come around. But let's look at Revelation 9 and chapter 9. And we're going to have a baptism tonight, too. I'm going to try to stop around a quarter after. We'll take a prayer request and then stop before that. It says, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth, and to him, notice it's to him, angels or stars, was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit. I don't know if y'all seen it this week. They were showing where these people were on a boat, and there was stuff coming up out of the volcano, coming out of the ground. It was shooting into the sea. I mean, it was flowing. And the reason why I believe volcanoes erupting is because the Bible says hell enlarges itself.
Yep.
Hell's enlarging itself. And there came out the smoke of the locusts upon the earth. There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and it was unto them was given power as a scorpion of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And the Antichrist put a mark. We talked about that last week. The Antichrist puts a mark. He's a leopard. He's a lion. And bears, they all mark the trees, and they always mark as high as they can so they can show the animal coming around their territory how big they are. And they want to mess with them. And the Antichrist is going to mark men, and the Bible says God's going to seal in Revelation chapter 7 and chapter 14, God seals his 144,000. And you're sealed. After you're saved, you're going to be out of here. The rapture will take place. Thank God we're sealed and that we're not marked. And it says it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass. Verse 5, to them was given the key to them that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man. 5 months is interesting. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. That's another interesting passage. Men wanting to die, trying to kill themselves, and they can't. And they can't die. Guy blow half his head off and still alive. Or something. That's the way I take it. And it says, the shapes of the locusts were like on the horses prepared on the battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. These things are, they're genetically altered, whatever they are. They're coming up out of the pit. And it says, and they had hair as the hair of women, the teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like a scorpion, and there was stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. And it says, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue is Apollyon. But one woe is past, and behold, there cometh two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. It's almost indicating the something's in the middle of the horns, or the horns are speaking themselves, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the river Euphrates. And it says, the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. So that means these angels are bound right now. They're in the river Euphrates. The river Euphrates was what separated, was a fourth river that separated the Garden of Eden. And the river Euphrates is when the children of Israel, when the sole of their feet hit the river Euphrates, it was parted. So the river Euphrates is all the way through your Bible, and you'll find it in Revelation 16. And it says, in the number of the army, here it is, the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them, 200 million men come out to battle against Israel. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, jacklins and brimstone, and the heads of their horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was a third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. Wow. And it says, and that could be tanks, or so on, or literal horses with supernatural power. And their power was in their mouth and in their tail, for their tails were like unto serpents, their heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands. Repentance. That's an important word. Amen. It's important in a Christian's life, repentance. Not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship, not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders or of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So almost sounds like the streets of America. And this thing is happening during the tribulation period. And we went through a lot of this last time about the pit, the angel coming down, being a male, coming down, having a key. Everything has keys. God's got keys to things. Up in heaven, in hell, they're locked up, and heaven is open, and the gates open on their own. And when a man walks into heaven, the gates open up. And it says in verse 3 about these things coming up out of the pit. They're genetically fabricated or messed with, and they have faces like men. They have teeth like lions. They have hair like women. They have tails like scorpions. And these things are coming up out of the earth. They hurt men for 5 months. Now, that's crazy. You say, man, that's like a movie. That's like watching a movie. People watch a movie. They'll say, oh, yeah, man, I've seen this movie. This happened, that happened, that happened. But when it says the Bible says something like that's going to happen, they go, no, man, that can't happen. That can't happen. No way. But it's going to happen. And the world talks about hell on earth. This is really going to be hell on earth. And these things coming up out of here, and they start destroying men, and it causes the army for the Battle of Armageddon, 200 million men going to the Valley of Megiddo. And the Bible, we're going through the thing the second time, going through the tribulation period here. You're going through it the second time, and we go through it two more times here. And that thing is like the four Gospels. They go through it and shows you a different angle. It shows you another angle, shows you another angle. And that thing comes up out of the pit. Look in Revelation 13. Look in Revelation 13. And here's another angle. He says, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. Upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. And I believe that's America. I really do. I believe that's America. It represents America, a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear, but I know it represents a man. It's the Antichrist. And his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death, and then deadly wound was healed. That's the beast. And all the world wondered after the beast. So, and then it says, verse 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things, blasphemy, and power is given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwelt in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. So go back to Revelation chapter 9. These things are coming out of the pit, but the angels are bound in the river Euphrates, and they get ready to get released. And they get released for one reason, and one reason only, to start a war, start wars. And these angels are bound. You say, why are they bound? These are fallen angels. These are angels that did something probably in Genesis 6. These are the same angels that did something in Genesis 6 and messed with something. And the Bible says they were bound in the river Euphrates. Now, when it comes to the rivers, I told you last week, there's seven, but and the seas as well, there's seven triangles in the world, seven Bermuda triangles, like Bermuda, is seven of them. And they're the deepest part of the oceans. And I believe this. I believe there's something there. I believe there's something moving. There's something going on. There was a deep sea diver years ago that was, he was with Jacques Lousteau, just, well, what is that, French? What's his name? I can't even say his name. Jacques Lousteau. And he was with him, and he went down in the Bermuda Triangle, and they were looking for, just artifacts and stuff. And he came to these stairs. And he came to these stairs, and he said he started going down, following these stairs down. As he went down, he heard screaming. He heard voices. He seen things moving so deep that man can't get there. He said he came back up and quit and said that was enough of that. He thought he was going nuts. And there's something that's there. Man, we talk about the moon and stars and all that stuff, but there's something in our sea, and there's something there. And here you got four angels that's bound in the great river Euphrates. You say, can you see them? I guess if you could see them, you'd probably go crazy if you could see them. But there's something going on, and there's something getting ready. And the thing about that, it says, in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. This is going to be a wild thing happening on the earth where men are looking to die and can't die. And they can. And then when the Bible says this thing that comes up out of the bottomless pit has a king over them, a king. And this guy leads, or this thing leads this band of whatever they are. They're half man, part beast, part lion, part whatever. They got teeth like lions, and they got hair like women, and they got men. They're hurting men for 5 months. You know, you think about all the men that say all this stuff about hell on earth and all that. And when they see something like that, it causes them to have a heart attack and they'll want to die. And they can. That's a crazy thing. I'm glad I'm not going to be here. Amen. I'm glad, man, thank God I'm not going to be here. I want to make sure nobody's that I know, or friends or our foe, I want to make sure they get saved. They hear the word of God and get saved. Amen. And the Bible says they had breastplates, as it were, verse 9, of iron, and the sound of their wings, they're going to be hard to kill. These things will be hard to kill. Like I said, they're making movies all the time about all kinds of crazy things. And in Greek mythology, they had all this stuff. They had half horse, half man. They have all this stuff going on. And these things are real. The Catholic Church would try to tell you the book of Revelation is just figurative. It's not really literal. It's not going to happen. They try to tell you it's just a story. It's really not going to happen. And the Bible says it's going to happen. And you think about this. Would you want anybody left behind? When you're reading the book of Revelation, you read about this thing. And it says the third part of the, look at chapter 8. It says a third part of the trees are burned up, verse 7. A third part of the of beasts or creatures in the sea that had life died. A third part of the ships were destroyed. A third part of the angels sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. So everything. Then you go down to chapter verse 12, and it says the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and third part of the moon, and so on. So this thing is, I mean, this stuff is rapidly, and it's happening. You say, when is this going to happen? It'll happen in that seven-year period, right here in Tribulation. And right now, you've got like I said, the news media doesn't always report it, but you got earthquakes going on every day. You got volcanoes erupting. There's one in Hawaii every day is erupting. And what it is, God's warning man. I said this, God warns man three times. According to the Word of God, he gives you three warnings. God warns people, warns people, warns people. Now, I believe the Lord's allowing America to get another, have a chance that, recuperate from this socialism that's being pushed. I want to read this to you. I don't have time to get in all Revelation tonight, but I wanted to read this to you. I thought this was very interesting. It says this. This is Trump, globalism, and Bible prophecy. Is God involved in the affairs of leaders and governments? Yes, he is. Was the hand of God involved in the recent election of Donald Trump? I believe so. There was a very good reason that some very distinct titles are given to God, such as the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, and it's because when God created the heavens and the earth, God knew all the history before it would ever occur. He knew the final results of history from the very beginning. This is why it has been said it is a foolish thing to gamble against God. He already knows how the dice will end up. The election of Donald Trump as president of the United States was a political earthquake greater than Brexit in Great Britain. This is the, what is it?
Brexit.
Brexit. I couldn't. Brexit. This election was sent shockwaves throughout the world. Liberals are still freaking out. Colleges are having cry sessions. Young fascists shouting violence in the street. All of this only serves to underscore the great victory for freedom that has been wrought. The American people decided who will represent them in Washington, and much of the world condemns us again. Charges of racism, homophobia, hatred against women, Islamophobia, KKK, every hate name in the book are being leveled against Trump and the 60 million deplorables who voted for him. But are these charges true? Of course not. This is the standard propaganda that comes from the educated elite who don't want to be confused with the facts of anything that has to do with God and his word. It has been true throughout the ages, but is all anger and hatred really about concerns for people's lives and freedom? Hardly. It's about something that's much more cynical. And it is globalism versus nationalism. The dream of the socialist bankers, that's the Illuminati, the Illuminati, the global nationalists are the richest men of all the world they want to control the world. They want the world to be under their hands. When the Antichrist comes, see Barack Obama, Clinton, all them, the other prime minister of England, Putin pulled out of the EU. And they were all trying to bring it all together, and no borders, no borders at all. They didn't want no borders. They want to make it all one. So that way everything's the same. That's almost sounds like communism, but it's a one world government, one world thing. That's what they were planning. That's what this whole thing's about. And Trump was against it. And this one world thing is these educated globalists, they want to control the world. And that way they make some richer as well. The dream of the social bankers and the billionaires of the New World Order machine that wants to eradicate all borders, dominate the world, this movement has suffered a temporary setback. They are really to make, they're ready to make someone pay. It's whitelash, they say. No racism in that. They say white men are responsible. I didn't know white opinions didn't matter. It says original people of rural America who didn't think the Kool-Aid of higher learning and refused the microchip of the liberal media has put a monkey wrench in the UN 2030 agenda. They had this agenda by 2030, the world would be controlled, more under control by them, and everything would be better at New World Order. I think it was George Bush, or maybe it might have even been Ronald Reagan talking about the New World Order. Everybody talked about the New World Order, getting everything under the New World Order. But if you think this is the end of it, think again. The global elites, who certainly know the best for the world, are not out of options. They still strike again, complete their Antichrist agenda. God's word tells us there will be a new world order. The Antichrist will one day rule the entire world for a period of 7 years. Concerning this, the Bible is clear, however, since this is such a shift by the nations that, judging from all the hoopla, is still considering the leaders of the West, we must understand what it all means. How does it all fit into God's eternal plan as outlined in God's Word? Will there be a revival in America? Absolutely not. Many church leaders have been suggesting that Trump's win would usher in a massive revival in the United States. It will not. The ascendance of the Christians to important places of government, Mike Pence and others, will preserve religious freedoms, ensure a better country for all that in the short term, but it will not bring spiritual awakening. God's epic in predictions can never, ever be obliterated. Nevertheless, the political environment will bring a relief in the governmental repression of Americans, especially Christians, who have long been the target of social engineering. This truly is a major victory and one every believer can be excited about. However, believers need to be concerned that those who teach domination theology, dominion theology, the idea of Christians will take over and dominate the world. That's what Ted Cruz believes. I didn't know that. Jesse was telling me Ted Cruz believes that. Will be emboldened in their message and will become more palatable to believers on the account of this development. Though God has a purpose and a plan for this new administration, it will not bring about revival. Only the Holy Spirit can bring revival to God's people. Politics are never going to usher in a kingdom of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ will. There will never be peace without the Prince of Peace. The moral decline that we have seen continues and was even advanced in some places by the events of the past week. We may have gotten the government off our back for a short time, but the enemies of God have become more radical. The Bible warns us that darkness will increase on the earth prior to Jesus' return. Make no mistake about it. We are at the end of the age, and the events of the tribulation period are on the horizon. Is globalism dead? Globalism and the emergency of a one-world alliance led by the Antichrist is guaranteed to take place since it is prophesied in Scripture. However, on the account of the Prime Minister of England and Trump's election, many are concluding that globalism is dead, but this is not the case. Globalists may be down, but they're not out, not by a long shot. On the contrary, they are more vigorous than ever. They are not going to let all their hard work be wasted. It all falls into play with God's eternal plan. They have achieved great success with the European Union, have succeeded in their global indoctrination, a world new generation that is already and ready to execute their plan. Having been raised or not raised by moral bankrupt parents, they began wards of the state and have enlisted to fight. That's why you see all the rioting. The fight of the ages simply states is the unite the world as one, shake off all vintage of the Christian past. This America is not a Christian nation, never was. Create a utopia where the sensuous pleasures reign and religion. It has existed, if it exists at all, is to support this goal. As we have seen with the Prime Minister of England and many of, and now the election of Trump, millennials are the one group that is not on train. This is a guarantee that the nightmare of globalism is alive and well and will indeed fulfill the prophetic word. The world of the Antichrist will be the final tumor that will be surgically removed by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. This will be the accomplishment when he returns on the planet Earth and establishes 1,000-year reign on the Earth, establishing a worldwide peace when all the weapons will be converted into plowshares. The Prime Minister of England, we recently had an article and explained it why it is it would not single the breakup of the European Union as well. Now, a few months later, despite the referendum, the plan seems to be stalled. Parliament has voted so much for the will of the people. Anyone who is paying attention knows that the globalists are not committed to democracy because God's word cannot be abrogated. Because God's, or one has only to look at how the UN or the EU is structured. The parliament is meaningless and merely gives the people a feeling of self-government. while the political elites in the EU commissions runs the show. Trump was the only president-elect for only a few days, and there was an anarchy in the streets. Millennials in the major metropolitan areas rejected the votes of the people, insisted that Trump was not their president. Why? Because he is not duly elected. No, because he doesn't fit their agenda. They are burning flags, American flags, shouting death to the president-elect. You would think this was a banana republic. This is not Iran. It is the United States. Americans don't burn flags and star-spangled banner. Americans don't reject democracy, do they? No, these are not Americans. They are globalists, and democracy means nothing to them. These are the educated millennials. They have been raised and trained by the globalist left elites, liberal universities, and they will stop at nothing to get their way. We can thank God for the years of freedom we are about to enjoy, but it will not last. Storm clouds are gathering, and the next time the globalists will leave nothing to chance. God's word will be fulfilled. There will be a one-world government, economy, religion, as is written. Some Christian leaders proclaimed that Trump would be elected to be a type of Cyprus the Great, and the ancient Persian-Iranian secular ruler who allowed the Jews to return to the land and rebuild the temple, even financing the project. This was largely interpreted as a God-given opportunity to advance the kingdom of God in America. There is no doubt that something miraculous has happened. We have been shown mercy by God. It's just Josiah moment. The Lord is stunned by it, and the world is stunned by it, and a few believe it was possible. Nevertheless, it happened. Since we know that God is the one who rules over the affairs of men, despite their rejection of him, why then has he raised up Donald Trump at this time? Perhaps it's to answer our prayer and give us a break, but maybe it's a greater ratification for the prophetic timetable. Trump will likely be the friendliest president ever as far as Israel is concerned. Could this be the reason he has been raised up at this time? Could he actually be the type of Cyprus to help with the plan to rebuild the third temple? Could it be that his presidency is more about Israel? Only time will tell. But the next restoration for Israel and the next event to occur in the prophetic timetable is the consecration of the Temple Mount and the rebuilding of the temple. Could this be the mind of the Lord? Could this be response to a demonic proclamation of UNESCO, declaring that Israel has no connection to the Temple Mount, even the Western Wall, and the attempting to eradicate or erase 3,000 years of history? Is the building of the temple about to begin? Well, with the Jubilee anniversary from 1967 to 70 years of the founding of the state taking place in 2017, could there be something greater about to happen? Could Donald J. Trump have come to the White House for such a time as this? This takes an added interest because of this recent news article from Israel. The Sanhedrin asked Putin and Trump to build third temple in Jerusalem. It says the Knesset Sanhedrin is calling on Russian President Vladimir Putin and U.S.-elect Donald Trump to join forces to fulfill their biblical mandate roles by rebuilding the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. Rabbi Weiss, spoken of for the Sanhedrin, contacted Breaking News Israel to announce that the election of Trump, who has promised to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, coupled with Putin's expression desire for the temple to be rebuilt, prompt the Jewish court to send a letter offering the opportunity to act as modern-day the Medes and the Persians, non-Jewish kings who recognize the importance of Israel in the temple. Cyrus the Great, king of Persia, in the 6th century B.C., announced the first year of his reign that he was prompt by God to make the decree that the temple of Jerusalem should be rebuilt. Cyrus sent the Jews under his rule back to Israel with a considerable amount of money to rebuild the temple. The Sanhedrin plans to call on the two leaders, world leaders, to take up this ancient biblical decree, support the Jewish people in their holy mission. Rabbi Weiss explained that the U.S. elections have made the eternal Jewish dream a very real possibility. We are opposed to rebuild the temple. The political conditions today in which the two most important nations leaders of the world support the Jewish right to Jerusalem as their spiritual inheritance is historical, unprecedented. Rabbi Weiss told New Breaking News Israel. The Sanhedrin letters wrote that Trump upset victory was due to his support of Jerusalem. It reminds Trump that his campaign promises to move the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem effectively recognizes the city. This thing is bigger than you think. The capital of Israel. The Jerusalem's Embassy Act, passed by Congress in 1995, initiated the moving of the embassy, but has been vetoed since by every American president since. I didn't even know that. I didn't know in 1995 the Congress passed an act to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, but no president had enough guts to do it. Why? They were worried about the oil. They were worried about the Arabs. Yes, sir.
Every 6 months, the president
has to sign to waive or not to do it. Every 6 months. And
they already built it. It's being used in the consulate. They already built the building.
There you got the building built. Well, Trump's, that was what he ran on. He said, Jerusalem will have an embassy there.
Yep.
The reason why the other presidents wouldn't do it, we knew Obama wouldn't do it because he was with the Arabs. So Sanhedrin also recalled Putin's connection to the temple in his letter. During his third official trip to Jerusalem, I didn't know Putin had been there three times. In 2012, Putin paid a late night visit to the Western Wall. When he arrived at the holy site, the Russian leader stood in silence for several minutes, offering up a personal prayer, after which he read Psalms from the Russian Hebrew prayer book. That gave me chills, man. An Israeli bystander called out in Russian, "Welcome, President Putin." Putin approached the man who explained the importance of the Temple Mount and the Jewish temple. The Orthodox Hebrew News cited reports that Putin responded, "That's exactly the reason I came here, to pray for the temple to be built again." And then they got a picture of him at the Temple Mount with the rabbis. I can read on, but it tells about Calvin Coolidge ratified the San Remo, agreement in 1925, thus making recognition of the Jewish state legally binding by the U.S. law. So this whole thing has Doc wrote a book, and it's over in the bookstore. It's called The Deadly Piece of Dirt. And it's all about that piece of ground right there. The devil wants that ground. The Rome wants that ground. The Palestinians want that ground. That's why the Palestinians said, give us East Jerusalem. If you get East Jerusalem, they got the Temple Mount. That guarantees the Jews won't build a temple because they got the Dome of the Rock there. And this whole thing, you'll see that thing. You watch the news. You'll see that thing where the Palestinians, and Donald Trump made a big statement the other day. He said, my son-in-law is a Jew. He said, if anybody can bring a peace to Jerusalem, it's going to be him. Man, we're about to see some fireworks. So there's more to the story, but it shows you some of the U.S. Congress, what they passed saying the temple should, Jerusalem should be the capital, and it goes on. But there's a picture right here, if I can get this page. It's a picture right here of Putin at the wall with rabbis. I never knew Putin went there. I didn't knew he was been there three times. I never knew he was there praying for the temple to be rebuilt. So, and then him and Donald Trump is good buddies now, supposedly. You think God's in this thing? I think God's behind something.
Yep.
But it could be coming. I read that paper the other day. I went, good Lord, I never knew that. That's wild. And folks, so how much time we got? I don't know, but it's getting close. You know, wonder why it's getting harder to do right. And you wonder why they marched. The women marched, people thought that women's march over in Washington right after the election was supposed to be about, you know, against Trump. But what it was they interviewed some Muslim women that were against ISIS. They wouldn't even allow them march. They interviewed some women that are against abortion. They wouldn't allow them in. It's like Soros, he's in the elite. He's in that Illuminati. They want the world to be a one world government, one world everything. So wouldn't that make sense? Well, that way the Antichrist will have control. And Trump is a nationalist. He said this in his speech, America first. America first. That's why everybody else was national. They're trying to bring peace on earth. And that's why Bush did that. And all the rest, they're trying to bring peace on earth. It ain't going to happen. Only Jesus Christ can bring it. All right. We're going to take a prayer request real quick. I wanted to read that to you.